Luke chapter number 10, verses 38 to 42 records Jesus' visit with Mary and Martha. But why a Mother's Day message about Mary and Martha when nowhere in the scripture are we told that Mary or Martha were mothers? Well, I believe there are important lessons for mothers here in this text. And for that matter, there are important lessons for each of us here in this text, whether you're a mother or not, whether you're a woman or not. Luke chapter 10, verse number 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village. Jesus and his disciples were traveling on their way to Jerusalem, according to Luke 9, verse 51. They came to a village that isn't named for us here in Luke 10, 38, but it is named in John's Gospel as the village of Bethany, the hometown of Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, east of Jerusalem, on the eastern slope or the backside of the Mount of Olives. And there, as it happened, they went that he entered a village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary. The two characters in our story are Mary and Martha. The Bible always lists them as Martha and Mary, leaving us to suspect that Martha was perhaps the older of the two sisters. Martha may have also been the owner of the home, for the Bible says that Martha welcomed Jesus into her house, and then it appears that Martha was the one primarily responsible for the hospitality in her house. We know that Mary and Martha, or Martha and Mary, had a brother named Lazarus. We're familiar with this family because of the friendship that Jesus shared with them and the miracle Jesus performed in raising Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11. This morning, I would like to compare and contrast these two sisters, Mary and Martha, in a message I've titled, One Needful Thing. Let's pause for prayer, shall we? Lord God, at this time we now come to the Holy Scriptures, asking that your Holy Spirit might be our teacher. Lord, on this special Mother's Day, we honor our mothers. And Lord, from the Scriptures we charge our mothers. But at the same time, Lord, this Scripture text is applicable and practical for each of us, whether we're mothers or not, whether we're women or not. I pray, Lord, that you would change us because of our study. I pray that you would draw us to yourself and teach us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've structured my observations from this text in this way. Number one, Mary and Martha had a different focus. Mary and Martha had a different focus, verse 39. And she, that is Martha, had a sister called Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Letter A, Mary was worshiping. Mary was worshiping. The text says that Mary sat at Jesus' feet, the same feet that she would later anoint with costly oil. She sat at Jesus' feet as a learner and listened to what Jesus had to say. You see, verse 39 tells us that Mary heard his word, and perhaps Jesus spoke of his journeys and told stories of his earthly experiences from recent days spent north in Galilee. Or perhaps Jesus told of heavenly matters, eternal matters, and of the future. And I imagine that words of life flowed from Jesus' mouth, and there Mary sat and listened at Jesus' feet with rapt attention, her focus on his face. It appears that Mary was so intent, so focused upon Jesus, what I am describing as worship here, that Mary failed to help her sister Martha with the preparations. That's verse number 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him, Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. You see, while Mary was worshiping, Martha, letter B, was working. Martha was working or serving. The word is diakonia. Martha was a deaconess in a very real sense. Her focus was on serving and working. Now, I love people like Martha. I appreciate women like Martha, the ones among us who are always busy serving the Lord, getting things done. It is women like Martha that keep the activity of this local church humming. They're committed, they're involved, they're active in the work of the Lord. In fact, for Martha, in Martha's case, she wasn't just serving Jesus, she was serving all of the guests that were with him in her home that day. If you do the math, there might have been as many as 15 or more people. Mary, Martha, Jesus, 12 disciples, we might also add Lazarus or others, to spontaneously host 15 people can be overwhelming. That's a lot of work. But Martha, you see, was a servant, and she was working. And mothers that are here this morning, I suspect that you know a thing or two about work. There's so much to do. The responsibilities of managing a home can be overwhelming. The kitchen, the laundry, the cleaning, the shopping, the kids. In fact, moms, I read that by the time your child reaches age 18, you will have had to handle an extra 18,000 hours of child-generated work. Now follow this. At minimum wage, and we'll make minimum wage $6 an hour for our purposes this morning, easy math. I've previously confessed to you that I'm not smarter than a fifth grader when it comes to math. So for easy math, $6 an hour for 18,000 hours of child-generated work would net you or earn you $108,000 in the raising of your child. But of course, we know that your work is worth more than minimum wage. We'll give you $25 an hour. How about that? Moms, $25 an hour at 18,000 hours is closer to $500,000. If you have two kids, you are a $1 million mom. My wife here, $2.5 million. Mothers, I read that without a child, you would enjoy an extra 3 months of leisure time each year. Being a mother is hard work. There's a lot to do. And this morning we thank you and we honor you for the work that you have done and you continue to do. But notice something in verse 40. Martha's working, Martha's serving became cumbersome, I think is how the King James Version describes it, or distracting. There is so much irony here. Martha's focus was distracting. And moms, I imagine that at times you have thought to yourself, all I ever do is change diapers and wipe runny noses and make macaroni and cheese and fold laundry. Mothers, do you ever feel that your focus is in fact distracting? It is so consuming that you are actually distracted from the necessary attention to yourself, or to your husband, or to your Lord. And this isn't just for moms. All of us are in danger of this very thing. Our jobs, our hobbies, our serving can become so consuming that we develop tunnel vision and we become cumbered or we become distracted from what is most important. This morning, a confession of a pastor. Myself, the pastor, shepherding the church of God, teaching the word of God, serving the people of God can become so consuming in my life that I am cumbered or distracted from a proper focus on the person of God. Mary and Martha had a different focus. This led to number two. Mary and Martha had a different fellowship. A different fellowship. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet worshiping. Martha was working. In verse 39, we read that Mary was as close to the Lord as she could be. Letter A, Mary was close. Mary was close, sitting at his feet. When I read a book to my children, they don't sit across the room from me. They get as close as they can to me, one on either side of me. The smaller children on my lap. The baby is across the room, of course, slobbering on whatever's in her mouth at the moment. But the other children, they're close. And And when I tell my kids a story about when Daddy was a little boy, they huddle even closer and they look at my face because they want to know what Daddy was like when Daddy was a little boy. Mary was right there, up close, at Jesus' feet, enjoying the fellowship. Can you picture it? We sing about this on a regular basis. On the back of your notes, I've printed a couple hymns. Near to the heart of God. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet. A place where we our Savior meet. There is a place of full release. A place where all is joy and peace. All of this is near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before Thee. Near to the heart of God. Another hymn, nearer, still nearer, close to Thy heart, draw me, my Savior, so precious Thou art. Fold me, O fold me, close to Thy breast, shelter me safe in that haven of rest. Other hymns that you know are nearer, my God, to Thee. Or closer to Thee, or abide with me, or as the deer, and so many others that describe a close fellowship that we desire. Now, positionally, we have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ if we've been saved by grace through faith. Positionally, we are sons and daughters of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, adopted, accepted in the Beloved. Positionally, the Lord has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. But practically, we don't always enjoy the close fellowship and communion with God. The sad reality is that we don't always experience that reality. And in fact, you may be here this morning as one who has been saved for many, many years, but you say, Pastor Matt, I lament that God seems to be so far away. You say, Pastor Matt, my worship is shallow. My prayer is meaningless. My Bible reading is a blur. You are disgruntled perhaps with this church because after the service, you don't feel any closer to God than you did when you came. And perhaps you have felt that way at times. I confess that I have felt that way at times. Look again at verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving. You see, while Mary was close, Martha was cumbered. Cumbered is the word rendered in the King James Version. Martha was cumbered about or distracted with much serving. It literally means to be drawn away. To be drawn away from what? Well, I think that Martha was drawn away from what had taken place at the end of verse 38. At the end of verse 38, Martha had welcomed Jesus into her house. And folks, we receive Christ. We welcome Him into our hearts, we say, or into our lives, as it were, our homes. And then we are drawn away from Him to other things, and that fellowship is lost. And Martha was drawn away from fellowship because of fervent activity, service, so that Mary and Martha had a different fellowship. Mary and Martha had a different focus. Mary was worshiping, Martha was working. Mary and Martha had a different fellowship. Mary was close, Martha was cumbered. Number three. Mary and Martha had a different feeling. A different feeling. Now, there is a very logical progression happening here. The focus, the fellowship, the feeling. Many times we complain about our feelings, but I guarantee you that our feelings are sourced in a fellowship that is because of our focus. Let's take the marriage relationship. I just don't feel close to my spouse anymore. Well, why not? Well, because our relationship or our fellowship isn't what it used to be anymore. Well, why not? Well, because he's at work and she's at work and he's doing his thing and she's doing her thing and the schedule is crazy and the kids are demanding. Okay, so the focus has been lost. And when your focus is lost, your fellowship breaks down and your feelings are a wreck. This morning I submit to you that Mary and Martha had different feelings in our text. I'd like to invert the Mary-Martha order as we've been following it in our notes, and I'd like to begin with Martha in this case, letter A. Martha in verse 40. But Martha was distracted, she was cumbered, she was drawn away with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me." Letter A, Martha was provoked. Martha was provoked. Although this is Mother's Day again, this message isn't only for mothers alone, as if mothers are the only ones who are busy or the only ones who are ever provoked. All of us become frustrated, irritated, provoked when we are the only ones pulling our weight in life. And the revealing thing here is that Martha and Martha's feelings caused her to snap at Jesus. Martha accused Jesus of not caring. The "you don't care about" accusation is often flung at one another carelessly. I think we're all guilty of issuing the "you don't care about" accusation. But our feelings there are driving us. Does Jesus care? Yes, of course he does. Does Jesus take orders from us? No, of course he doesn't. But oh, how Martha's feelings had changed from verse 38 when she welcomed him into her home to verse 40. At first she was so glad to see Jesus, greeting him and welcoming him, perhaps inviting him to take a seat, offering him a glass of water. And now the entire episode has her upset, and she is demanding that Jesus order Mary. She is ordering Jesus to order Mary to help serve. Her feelings had gotten the best of her. Here are a couple points to check in your own life regarding this, moms or dads or everybody. Do you ever feel resentment because you feel like you're the only one doing anything? You're the only one working so hard. I used to hate group projects in school, group projects. Because invariably, three or four or five students would be assigned to a group project, but only the ones who cared about their grades did any work. Have you been there? And it always frustrated me, or provoked me, if you will, for those who, in my group, that were the lazy losers, and if I left it up to them, nothing would ever get done, and I resented that. And that, of course, led to feelings of criticism and bitterness, and even this morning I'm hostile regarding that. Feelings of resentment because I did all the work and you got the grade. Have you ever felt overwhelmed? There's so much to do. The adage says that a mother's work is never done. According to verse 41, Martha was troubled about many things when in reality there was only one thing that was needful. One needful thing. One necessary thing. Now, I'm not a mother this morning. I'm not a mother at any time, for that matter. I'm not a mother, but I identify with this. The nature of my work is that there is always more that could be done. More praying, more preparing, more people to touch, more people to teach, more programs to run, more things to be done. And at times I feel overwhelmed. But what is the one needful thing for me as a pastor? Is it your expectations of me? Is it my expectations of me? Is it the Bible's expectations of me, the ministry of prayer and the study of God's Word? But sometimes we feel so overwhelmed. Have you felt that? Do you sometimes feel like the martyr? I do, and I do, and I do. I work, and I work, and I work. I serve, and labor. And so I guess it's all up to me. I'm the only one who's faithfully serving in this place. Glory to God. And we feel like a martyr. And do these feelings cause us to snap at others and say, you don't care about. These are some of the feelings that Martha had. On the other hand, what about Mary? The Bible doesn't say anything about Mary's feelings. What was Mary feeling? It only tells us that she was sitting at Jesus' feet in verse 39. She was focused on him and listening to his words. But I know what Mary was feeling. Here it is, let her be. Mary was at peace. At peace. How do you know, Pastor? Isaiah 26, verse 3, a scripture reference that I've given to you there in your notes. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. There is peace and there is contentment when we are fixed on the Lord. And whether you are a mother or a father, whether you are single or married, whether you are a youth or retiree, we have all had the roller coasters of feelings regarding so many things in life. But when we go before the Lord, there is a peace that passes all understanding that guards our minds and our hearts through Jesus Christ. And certainly I can tell you that Mary's feelings were different than Martha's. And whatever Mary's feelings were, I suggest that they were closer to peace. While Martha was provoked. Verse 41. And Jesus answered and said to her, that is to Martha, 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 you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Stephen Covey, in his book, First Things First, says this. People expect us to be busy, overworked. It's become a status symbol in our society. If we're busy, we're important. If we're not busy, we're almost embarrassed to admit it. Busyness is where we get our security. It's validating, popular, and pleasing. Now, Stephen Covey is not a frequent source of sermon material for me, but in this case, I think he nails it on the head. And it's convicting to me what he says. One thing was needed, that good part which Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus and fellowship with him. That one needful thing. And mothers, that is what I would want for each of you. Mothers, you don't need a mother's night out to go shopping. Although that's fine. You do that well. You don't need a date night with your husband, although that is good. You need, and we all need, to be careful that we do not neglect that one needful thing. And that's to sit at the feet of Jesus. In fact, mothers, this morning, I give you permission to leave your dishes in the sink and to commune with the Lord. And husbands, I give you permission to go golfing. There are occasions when we need to set our work aside and we need to look at Jesus. There are times when we need to allow the mess to exist or the chore to go undone and we need to sit at the feet of Jesus. And I would lament that perhaps we err as Martha did in this text. Finally, I want to show you that Mary and Martha had a different future. They had a different focus. They had a different fellowship. They had a different feeling. But finally, they had a different future. And I would invite you to turn with me to John chapter 12. Perhaps your Bible will naturally fall open at that place, for we've been studying the Gospel of John together for this past year, and we are just beyond John chapter 12. But in John chapter 12, allow me to read again of Mary and Martha's different future. Here it is. John 12, verse 1. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany. That's the village of Bethany where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead, and there they made him a supper, and Martha served. You don't say. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary. Here's Mary, Martha's sister, Lazarus' sister. Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you'll have always with you, but you do not always have me with you." A different future. And folks, I would regret that perhaps Martha didn't learn the lesson back in Luke chapter 10. She was still stuck serving. It was Mary who had continued to worship. Moms, this morning, you do a lot of serving and you do a lot of work and you're worth $1 million. But I would encourage you to step away from your work. Sit at the feet of Jesus. Listen to his word. Enjoy the closest fellowship that you can enjoy with him. For others that are here this morning under the sound of my voice, you're not a mother, you're not a woman, you're not a parent, perhaps. Whatever your circumstance, I would encourage you not to neglect the one needful thing in your life. And that is your relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the very practical teaching of the text in Luke chapter 10. Lord, this morning, most of us identify with Martha. Most of us have experienced her feelings. Lord, I pray that you would draw us to yourself, near, close to you, so that we might learn the most important discipline of sitting at your feet and hearing you, of worshiping. Lord, we desire to have that close fellowship with you. May we not neglect the one needful thing. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.